Word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Among this summer's anticipated films is Prometheus, Ridley Scott's prequel to his groundbreaking sci-fi flick, Alien. The plot centers on a crew of intergalactic explorers. Among the cast of characters is a humanoid robot, or android, who sounds decidedly more ominous than, say, a Jetsons household model. Michael Fassbender is a spooky android David in a video released as part of a viral campaign for the forthcoming Prometheus. The performance got us thinking about how current robotic technology compares to science fiction's common tropes. You know, the good robot gone bad or the android who thinks he's human. Dennis Cass is a recovering journalist and now science fiction author. He wrote about the androids real and imaginary for io9.com. Dennis, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So first, androids, robots, artificial intelligence. Can you give us a little quick 101 on all this? What's the difference?
A brief taxonomy.
Yes, please.
Well, start with the robot, which is the most machine-looking of all your artificial life forms. So, and it can be a humanoid style like C-3PO, or it can be a trash can on wheels like R2-D2. And then bumping up a level is to the cyborg, which is often a mix of flesh and machine. And sometimes the machine parts are visible, as in the Borg or when Arnold Schwarzenegger gets damaged in the Terminator. And then the most faithful to the humanoid form is the android, which is basically a computer that is shaped like a human.
Mm-hmm.
and looks, for all intents and purposes, indistinguishable from us.
And of course, many of us have images of these various kinds frozen in our brain. We've seen them many, many times before. Androids, for example, of movies and comic books now are almost predictable, as you write. They fit pretty much into a few select archetypes. So where's the creativity in this area gone?
Well, I think that there's a reason why we like our androids the way they do, and it's because they allow us to explore, you know, certain machine, certain themes of life and death. And so what I did in my piece was try to go through what the tropes are, and then why where real life robotics is at, because there's some real androids out in the world that are being worked on right now, and they're pretty phenomenal.
Mm. Okay, so one common category, one common trope, the android that finds the emotions and logic of humans to be a deep, abiding mystery. What would be a fictional example of such an android?
The one that springs to mind immediately is Commander Data in Star Trek The Next Generation, constantly cocking his head and looking quizzically at his crew members, wondering, what is this thing called love, and why do jokes work the way they do?
All right, let's hear a little bit from Commander Data from Star Trek The Next Generation.
So the guy staggers to his feet and goes back to the girl, right? Well, she smiles, looks him straight in the eye and says, "Just try that in hyperspace."
I see. So the difficulty in attaining such complex positioning in zero-gravity environment, coupled with the adverse effects it would have on the psychological well-being of the average human male, is what makes this anecdote so amusing. Yes. Very humorous indeed. Hysterical, in fact.
Okay, creepy laugh from Data there, android second officer from Star Trek. Surely this is not where we want our technology going, is it?
Well, we already have IBM's Watson, which uses natural language processing to understand the punning intent behind Jeopardy questions. And so Watson did quite well, in part because it knew what a computer knew, but more importantly, because it understood how language worked. And so it's not, you know, once you get the pun, which is admittedly a pretty low form of humor, it's not far-fetched to imagine a machine being able to understand a joke.
Or the creepy laughter, of course.
Exactly.
How about the android with the predictable job? Now, this is the soldier capable of killing the enemy. Doesn't seem that far off.
Yes, and in fact, there is Boston Dynamics is a robotics company that is making robot technology for the military. But yeah, you have to feel kind of bad for the Android career counselor. You basically get to be a soldier or a science officer or a prostitute, and these are your choices. But in fact, I can envision androids because they have a face, because they have a voice, because they have bodies, because they're humanoid, they can do more demanding work. They can do more human work because of that interface. And if you look at some of the technologies that are being developed right now, for instance, in Japan, where they have an elder care crisis that's looming, and so who's going to give care to the aging population? And if you imagine the demands of, say, a patient with advanced Alzheimer's or dementia, and how for a human to give care, how emotionally draining and emotionally difficult that is. But if you had an android that could be warm and could be sympathetic, but would also wouldn't be tired or wouldn't get frustrated, you could see how that would actually be far more advantageous than a janitor.
We're talking about some of the jobs that androids can do and other robotic technology updates with Dennis Cass. He's a former journalist, now science fiction writer. He wrote about androids real and imaginary for io9.com. Another common trope in entertainment is the android that suddenly turns murderous. So we're thinking of the movie Alien, the android Ash, played by Ian Holm. He turns on his human crewmates. Is that a realistic possibility, or does it just make for a pretty good scare in the movies?
Well, I think that obviously there's, machines are going to go wrong, and there's going to be technologies are going to fail us. But this idea of turning murderous is, I think, particularly interesting. One of the common tropes in this kind of storyline is that upon attaining consciousness, the artificial intelligence decides that that human beings must be eliminated because we're so awful and flawed. And so I think this speaks a lot more to a writer's take on humanity than it does to a machine's take, because there's no reason why they wouldn't gain consciousness and think, for example, hey, you know, maybe these guys just need some help.
The next android type is the one that doesn't know it's not human. So is this a desirable quality in our robots?
Yeah, you really don't want, especially if for example, you have an android caregiver, you know, it's going to have to be physically stronger than us in order to do its job. And so if it thinks that it's a person, you know, that becomes a huge health and safety issue. And I think, you know, another issue that's running through these sort of real life android investigations is the idea that anything that's developed, any kind of technology that's developed in a fantasy world, of course, is limitless, and it can explore the best and the worst of humanity. But generally, the things that we actually make and do get weighed down by our fears of things going wrong. And so I think that the actual androids that we're going to have are going to be probably incredibly safe. Because once they move from fantasy to reality, there are all these pressures, just like we have pressures, on companies to make foods that aren't bad. The fear of boycott and lawsuit and recall is going to weigh heavily on even the most dystopic mega corporation of the future.
But I guess there's a fine line in some cases between the the ambitions and the reality. Like Russia 2045, we just read about this morning. This is a company that's a group that's announced plans to build a robot human copy controlled by thought via a computer interface. Now, this is by 2045. So they've built an android with a human fleshy face. And the idea is that it would download all the data from a person's life so that someone can live for eternity. Right?
Yes. Yes, the singularity.
So
this is a wonderful fantasy that we have.
The Ray Kurzweil fantasy.
Yes, but I just think the future is going to be a lot more boring than that, just like the present is. I mean, I remember when the internet, you know, first became this, you know, first became a phenomenon, and just the things that it was going to do and the things that it was going to solve. And this is, you especially hear this in the kind of techno utopians, you know, that social networking is going to you know, change the world and make it a better place. And it's true that, you know, that there's things like the Arab Spring facilitated by Twitter, but we also, you know, we also use Facebook just to share cat pictures, you know. And so, you know, this idea of the technology helping us transcend our basic, you know, our basic flaws or our basic humanity. I think it's much more likely that you know, the androids of the future are going to be really safe. They're going to be really boring. And if, you know, if they come out of this healthcare thread, you know, we might have a situation where, you know, the androids, you know, nagging you about your diet and making sure you exercise and, you know, you actually want to avoid it, not because you're worried it's going to kill you, but just because it's just kind of a downer.
So this vision that we have sort of stamped by villainy and science fiction, I guess it's time for an update.
I think so.
Well, Dennis Kass, I really want to thank you for joining us.
I appreciate it.
Dennis Kass, former journalist, now science fiction author. He wrote about androids for io9.com, and you can find a link at wordofmouthradio.org. We've also posted a video of that pretty creepy Russian android that I mentioned earlier. It is in Russian, but there's an article that you can look at. Coming up, women's new and influential role in the previously male-dominated Italian wine industry. We're going to take a whiff of the fruity tones of equality when Word of Mouth continues.